But let me tell you how I arrived at this. I was preaching at our children's conference on Thursday, and then on Friday, I had to fly out to Atlanta. So I flew out early. I had to get up at 5 in the morning, caught my plane early in the morning on Friday, flew to Atlanta, and I spoke to thousands of young people on Friday night in Atlanta, which was incredible. I still love speaking to young people. And then on Saturday morning, I actually spoke to about 150, 200 leaders, and had a great time there. And I had to rush to the Atlanta airport because I had to catch my plane because we have a Saturday evening worship experience. So I got to the airport. My plane is leaving at 1:35. I get there at 12, and I go to the counter, and I said, I'm checking in for my flight. And they looked, and they said, wow, you've been bumped. Now, I have traveled all over the world, and I've flown I don't even know how many times. I have never been bumped, not once. So this is my first experience. I said, well, bumped, wait a second. I got my ticket. I'm sorry. Somebody has more miles than you, has higher privilege on an airline than you, has come, and we're bumping you. I said, what are you going to do? They said, well, you know, we can try and get you on the next flight. What time does that leave? That leaves at 3:30. What, 3:30? Okay. So I go and I come back and they say, sorry, it's oversold. We're bumping you again. I go, wait a second. Now, I said, listen, I'm not going to Vegas to gamble, and I'm not going to go party at Pure. Come on, somebody. I'm not. It's a nice club. Anyway, I'm not going to go hang out, you know, at the bank. I'm not going to go to LAX. What other clubs are out there? Tao. Somebody's like, I don't want to yell it out because then he'll say, oh, you've been there, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all good, right? And I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor. And you think I'm in the Bible Belt, they'd probably say, okay, we got to get you on. He said, we don't care. Sorry, there's no room on this flight. So I called my wife. I said, babe, is there any? Listen, I couldn't get on American because American wasn't flying nonstop. Air Tran wasn't flying. I mean, it's like Delta Airlines has got like a death grip on Atlanta Airport. And I don't have any status with Delta Airlines. And guess what? I never will because I'll never fly on you again. I was getting so mad. He said, well, Pastor, you're a Christian. That's why you kept it together. No, because on my ticket it said Reverend Benny Perez. It's the only reason why I kept it together because I had Reverend. If it didn't have Reverend, I was going to get ghetto on him. I was going to pull out my Mexican judo. You don't know if I got a chain. You don't know if I got a knife. You don't know. It's Mexican judo, man. I was going to, hi-ya. So I said, all right. They go, the last flight out of Atlanta to Las Vegas is at 5:40. I said, what do I have to do to guarantee that I'll be on that flight? I already paid. I mean, I paid like $1,200 already for my ticket. They said, you're going to have to give us $452 more. That's what I said. I said, will that guarantee me that I'm on this flight? They said, yes, it will, unless a medallion member with 1,000,000 miles shows up. And then you, I said, here's my credit card. I paid $452 times ticket. Four fifty rolls around, 5 o'clock rolls around. They start boarding a little bit early, and I get on. Now, I happen to pay enough extra so I could be in first class because I need something to drink coming home. You know what I'm talking about? I just jacked up, man. I ain't preaching anyway. Come on, let's just, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I thought about it. Just kidding. No, seriously, just kidding. And so I got on the plane, right? I got on the plane. I'm in first class. I'm like praying. I don't want to get bumped. Please, I don't want to get bumped. The doors came down. I'm like, yes, this is great. Pastor Jabin was preaching on Saturday night. Did a great job, so I'm okay. My wife is okay because she has somebody with her, and so I'm okay, and everything's good. And so I get on the plane, and I'm just like a little frustrated, a little upset. And I'm saying, man, God, you know, I mean, why did I have to do this? Why did I have to get bumped? Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I looked in front of me, and there was a TV screen. I think the Lord is good. Because I didn't know on this first class flight, they're having in-flight television that was showing now the Olympics and CNN and ESPN. And so, I mean, this is cool. So, man, I turned that on, put my headphones on. The guy next to me, he didn't want to talk to me because right when he sat down, he put his Bose noise cancellation. That's a sign of saying, dude, I don't want to talk to you. All right? The guy next to me across the aisle, he put in his earbuds really easy. And then catty corner to me, there was a guy named Mark Victor Hansen, the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. So he was sitting up catty corner of me while everybody's talking to him. Nobody wants to talk to me. So I said, I'm going to watch TV, right? So I'm watching TV, right? And I'm like, get into it. The Olympics are there. And all of a sudden I saw, wait a second. I looked over and I noticed that this guy's watching a movie. So I went back and it said movies. It said movies HBO. So I hit movies and I go, wow, I get to watch free movies on this 5-hour flight. There is a God, right? It's free, right? Because I'm in first class. And it's like, so I'm scrolling, and all of a sudden I came to a movie that I wanted to see that my wife never wanted to see. The movie was called The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock. See, my wife thought it was a football movie, but it was more than a football movie. Right? So I said, oh, okay, this is so cool. So after they gave me my meal and they gave me my tonic water, no alcohol, tonic water with a lime, and man, I put my earphones in, I press play. You see, what does it have to do with this message? Everything. Because I turn on this movie thinking it's going to entertain me for the next 5 hours or 2 hours, whatever the movie was, about 2 hours long. And when I turn it on, little did I know, within just a few moments, a few minutes, tears were coming down my eyes. I'm crying. I'm crying. It's like I'm holding back tears, and Mark Hansen's looking at me. Do you need my book, Chicken Soup for the Soul? I could help you. Seriously, he's like, are you okay? I'm okay. it's The Blind Side. It's all right. Because some of you didn't watch the movie, and I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but if you haven't seen it yet, you probably won't, so I'm going to ruin it for you anyway. The movie's an incredible movie because it's about an African-American kid, and his name was Big Mike. Somebody say Big Mike. Big Mike grew up in the tough part of Memphis. He grew up in the ghetto, in the hood. He grew up in the projects. And Big Mike now, his mama, she was addicted to drugs. And his mama had like 8 or 9 kids. And he was taken away from his mom when he was like 3 or 4 or 5 years of age. He's been in the foster care system. And yet he ran away from those homes. And he always run back because he wanted to rescue his mom. He wanted to go back and somehow reconnect with his mother. Well, what happens is Big Mike now is taken to a Christian school with another friend of his. And they beg the coach, hey, can you take my son? Oh, by the way, here's his friend, Big Mike. Well, they saw Big Mike, and Big Mike's probably about 6'5" at that time. I mean, just big old kid, right? And they take him in because they want him to play sports at this Christian school. And so Big Mike is there. And during the course of being at this Christian school, he befriends now this family. This family really befriends him. And I'll never forget this part of this movie. It's when Big Mike, and those of you who saw the movie, it's a rainy night. How many remember that scene? And Big Mike now is walking like this, and it's pouring down rain. And Sandra Bullock and her family are driving in their 7 Series. Silver. 10 leather interior with the navigation. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. Jesus, that's my dream. And so all of a sudden, they stop, and she rolls down her window, and she says, hey, Big Mike, where are you going? He says, with his head down, he goes, I'm going to the gym. The gym? Big Mike, the gym is closed. Big Mike, where are you going? Big Mike, where are you going? You need a place to stay tonight, Big Mike? He doesn't say anything. And Sandra Bullock, she should get the Oscar for this. She gets out of her car, those high heels, stomps them, walking around, opens up the door. Get in the car, Big Mike. You're coming home with us. So you watch the movie, and they're driving up. Big Mike is from the hood. He's from the ghetto. He's from the projects. And as they're driving up to this big house, he's looking out the window. And they open up the door and they let him in. And Sandra Bullock now takes out a sheet and she puts him on the couch. And she says, I put you in the room, but it's got a bunch of stuff in there. And you can stay the night here, Big Mike. And there's the restroom over there. And Big Mike, we thank you that you're here. And you could spend the night and it's all good. And little did she know and Big Mike know that that first night would turn into something very dramatic. Some of you know the story. Big Mike now comes to spring football practice. Big Mike now is starting to stay with his family. And Big Mike now didn't realize he was a big guy. Big Mike didn't realize he had a lot of power. Big Mike didn't realize all the strength that he had within him. You see, some of us are like Big Mike. You don't understand how big you really are on the inside. And so you know the story. Those of you that watch the story now, Big Mike now is actually now living with this family. I'll never forget the scene that now they clear out the extra bedroom and Sandra Bullock gets a futon bed and gets everything ready. And she calls Big Mike up and she says, "Hey, Big Mike, come on up." And she says, "Here's your bedroom. Here's where you're going to be staying. And I got you this futon bed because you're a big guy and this will stretch out better for you." And Big Mike looks, and this kid's an incredible actor, and he looks and he goes, "Wow, I've never had one of these before." And Sandra Bullock says, "You never had your own room?" "No, I've never had my own bed." "An old bed." "Stupid old bed." Now the guy next to me, he's watching, I don't know what he's watching, and I'm literally crying. And so football practice comes around. You know the story. Some of you saw the movie. Big Mike is this massive kid, and he's a lineman. And the coach now is getting him lining up. And Big Mike, he'd come up, and he kind of like tap people, let people go around him. And the coach is yelling at him, and, "Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. You can't let him beat you. Come on, Mike." Sandra Bullock happens to be in that practice. And she's on the benches looking, and finally she just can't take it anymore. She gets up with her high heels. Starts walking. Seriously, just like that, right? And she's walking. I mean, she's moving those hips, man. They're going. And she walks. And when she's doing that, you can see. Remember, let's just see the movie. All those young football players, like, "Oh, who's that coming?" Right? These high school kids. And she says, and as she walks by the coach, she gives him one of these on his bottom and goes out. He goes, "You'll thank me later." And so she grabs Big Mike's. "Come here, Big Mike. Come here, Big Mike." She grabs it. "Big Mike, you need to protect your quarterback. Big Mike, remember when we went back to where you grew up and you told me to stay in the car? Remember, Big Mike, when we went to the store and you said, 'Don't worry, I'll protect you'? Big Mike, you need to protect this quarterback because he's family now. Protect the quarterback. You have the ability to protect him. Do you understand me?" "Yes, ma'am." "Good." Walks off the field. As she walks out the field, all the young football players are watching her walk off the field. Right? And she sits down, folds her arms, and you know something is going to happen because in the movie, everything goes in slow motion. He gets in his stance. Come on, some of you saw the movie, right? And he closes his eyes, and for a second, he begins now to think about what was just told to him. He opens up his eyes, the quarterback, "Hey, hi." And he takes now, when the quarterback takes the snap, now Big Mike unleashes his power. See, Big Mike needed somebody to tell him he's bigger in the inside than he is on the outside. But you know what Big Mike's problem was? Big Mike's problem was he was always thinking about his past. He is always thinking about where he came from. He always had flashbacks of him being taken away from his mother. And he could never get over his past. Friends, let me tell you something. Why are you preaching this? Because God, I believe, spoke to me. And he said, "This is the story of so many of my children, so many of my kids, that they don't know how powerful, how big, how much power they have in the inside of them. Because they keep looking about where they came from. But it's not where you came from. It's where you're going." Oh, I feel it already. You see what Big Mike needed? He needed somebody, watch me now, he needed somebody that spoke truth into him. He needed somebody that loved him enough to look at him and say, "Big Mike, you can unleash all that power inside of you." You know something about Big Mike? Big Mike didn't earn the house that he was at. He never paid the mortgage. He didn't pay for the food. He didn't pay for that room. He never paid for that car. It was total grace. Can I tell you, this is what God does for us. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You're not that good. You don't have it all together. No, God shows up through his son Jesus and says, "Get in the car. We're going to take you someplace." Oh, I wish I got somebody that can hear me preach right now. I wish I had somebody that understood what I'm saying right now. How many people always tell me, "Well, you don't know my past. You know my stuff." I know some of you had a past that you could be on Jerry Springer. Some of you, "Well, I'm not that bad. I could be on Oprah." Well, good for you. Some of you are like kind of in between Oprah and Jerry Springer, so you're on Dr. Phil. And some of you hang out, come on with my friend George Lopez. Or the TBS. Watch this now. You know how many people? Some of you are sitting here right now. You're sitting on the front row, back row, middle row. And you all look good on the outside, but you still have those flashbacks in the inside. You're like Big Mike, and you don't even know the potential. Big Mike, as we know it, went on to play in the NFL. Big Mike is playing for the Baltimore Ravens. He was drafted in the first round. Big Mike's story is inspiring for so many people, but it never would have happened unless somebody stopped and begin to speak life into that young man. And so I don't care if I'm white and you're black. It is not a racial issue here. This is an issue that is bigger than race. This is an issue. You know, in that movie, it confronts racism. It confronts racism as she's with all her friends and they begin to say derogatory remarks because I know I should use the correct term, but you all know I love you. You can call me brown and don't offend me. Well, you have this young African-American, this young black kid in your... So what does that mean? I love Sandra Bullock. I thought she was going to get up and slap them all. Because if they don't tolerate racism in that movie, we should never tolerate racism in a church. Look around this church. Come on, we have African American, we have Caucasian, we have Hispanic, we have Asian, we have Native American. Come on, somebody, we got rich, middle class, we got poor and P.O. Paul. We got everybody. Why? Because we're all one in Jesus. Say yeah! So I'm watching this movie, and I'm crying, and I'm looking, I'm saying, my goodness, Big Mike didn't really know what was in him, because you can never release what you don't realize. You can never release what's really inside of you unless you realize what's really inside of you. Unless you realize, listen, you're not a survivor, you're an overcomer. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You don't have to let your past dictate your future. There's a God in heaven that says you're a Big Mike. Wow. So I begin to think about this, and God began to speak to me, and I couldn't sleep last night. So before I even could go to bed, I said, Wendy, I got to go downstairs, and I'm praying, and I'm just worshiping. And this morning, I woke up at 4:30, and there I am. My wife's sleeping. I got my little iPhone. I got a little my Bible on my iPhone, and I'm trying not to, you know, get her to wake up because it's really bright. And I'm reading all these scriptures. I'm doing all this study, and God begins to speak to me, and he says, I got a word for the church today. I said, God, I'm glad you do, because I don't. I don't have a word, Jesus. You got to show up and help me. And he said to me in my heart, it wasn't a voice. It wasn't like, this is God. I hear you.
Take off your retro Converse, because the place where you're lying is holy ground.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. No. It's in my thoughts. And God says, I have so many people watching online. I have so many people in my church that they don't realize how big they are on the inside. Because if you're not careful, distractions on the outside create distortion in the inside. Oh, this is better than Jake's. You should be shouting right now. I don't say that very often, but that's a good line right there. I got it from a higher source. I'm not talking about Coors. Come on, somebody. This is higher than the Rockies. Listen, how many of us are distracted? We're distracted. And so we get distorted. We get distracted by what we've been through and how could God do this? Watch what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's grab our Bibles. Beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul is writing. And he says these words, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. know the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Verse 8, but the rulers of this world would have not understood it. If they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined. Keep it on this verse. What God has prepared for him or for those that love him. What does the Bible say? It says, no eye has what?
Seen.
No ear has what?
Heard.
And no mind has what? What is that saying? It's saying this, that what God has for you, what God has for me is bigger than what you could perceive. It's bigger than what you can hear. It's bigger than what you can imagine. The writer is saying here that God has something that you have no ability to comprehend in your own natural ability. I've heard people say this, I know. Tell me something new, Pastor. You know, the Bible says that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways, and we can never know the mind of God. And you know, whatever happens, happens. No, that's called fate. We don't live by fate. We live by destiny. You have to understand that, like Big Mike. See, Big Mike could take a victim mentality. And I don't know why Big Mike's mom had to go through what she went through. I don't know all the answers about Big Mike's mom now being a crack addict or a cocaine addict. I don't understand all that. Why did he have to get ripped away from his family? Why did that have to happen to him? Why did you have to get molested? Why did you have to go through the stuff you went through? Why did you go through the pain at 16? Why did you go through the pain at 17? Why did you go through the pain at 40? I don't know. But I do know one thing, that this word is true, that God still has a plan that is bigger than you can think or imagine or understand, because He's God. You see, because if you stop at this verse, you're saying, wait a second, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind is prepared what God has prepared for those who love Him. But look at verse 10. It's going to get good. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. Did you catch this, church? Listen to me. He is saying this. He says it is so mind-blowing what God wants to do that in your own natural ability, you have no ability now to comprehend it. But you are not alone. If you're a Christ follower, that means He has given you His Spirit, and His Spirit now begins to let us know the plan that God has for us. No man knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of a man, and no man knows God's thoughts except the Holy Spirit. But I got good news for you. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in you. He lives in me. When you become a Christ follower, you have the divine hookup. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand now? Watch me. I can just tell you this. I was on the plane to Atlanta. Let's go back to Atlanta plane. And this plane was equipped with Wi-Fi, which means I could pull out my iPhone. And because there was a signal being broadcast in that airplane that I could not see, I could not hear, I could not naturally pick it up, I had to have the right, come on, the right phone. And when I clicked and it said Go-Go, that's the name of the network, kind of, Go-Go, it's kind of like Go-Go Dancer or Go-Go what? Go-Go, right? And I click on that. Now, though I can't see it, though I can't perceive it, there's a signal that is being right now transmitted in that airplane. But because now I have the right instrument, I have the right phone, the right capability, the person next to me didn't have it, the other person didn't have it, I had that iPhone, I clicked on there, and now I'm able to get on the internet when nobody else can. Can I tell you, you have an advantage as a Christ follower? Because watch me now, you don't have some Wi-Fi, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And though you can't see it, though you can't hear it, you can't even perceive it, I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God comes inside of you, He makes you stronger and bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Here's the problem with Big Mike. Watch the movie. In fact, we should do a movie night tonight. This should all come back after the worship experience. Just have a, how many would come back tonight and see the movie with me? No, you wouldn't. You raise your hands and you don't show up. Unless I made you pay, then you would show up. But listen to me. You know what Big Mike, I mean, he had all the physical capability. You know how big Mike, how strong Big Mike was? There was a scene when Big Mike was driving because they gave him a truck. He didn't earn it, didn't deserve it. They gave it to him. It's called grace. They get into an accident, and the airbags discharge. Next scene is little CJ, the little kid, Senator Bullock's little boy, is down on a gurney, and the paramedics are working on it. Big Mike's crying. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She runs up there. She goes, what's wrong, CJ? Are you okay? And the paramedic said, you know, ma'am, he was not, you know, old enough to be sitting in the front seat, and the airbag travels at 200 miles an hour, and it kills most kids. Evidently, there was a malfunction because it didn't hit him. So we're glad that it malfunctioned. Senator Bullock says, okay, that's so good. She runs over to Mike, and now Big Mike is crying on the side of the road. She goes, it's okay, Big Mike. It's okay. You know, it's fine. Nobody's hurt really bad. It's all good. And he says, oh, really? And all of a sudden, the camera pans, and you see all this damage on his right hand. She says, what happened to you, Big Mike? What happened? He said, when I got into an accident, I stopped the airbag from hitting CJ. That's how strong Big Mike was. He didn't know it until somebody began to tell him, Big Mike, Big Mike, you can use your strength now. Well, we know the story that you see him, and they get to the first football game, and they're playing, and I'm just going to quote the movie, they're playing a bunch of rednecks. See the movie. Sandra Bullock's in the stands with their Christian Debutante or Louboutin or whatever those shoes are, Christian Labrador or whatever it's called, right? I don't know what those are. It's just expensive heels, right? And she's there, and they're all on one side, and this is she calls him a redneck, okay? And so he's yelling because his son is saying derogatory terms to Big Mike on the field. And he keeps beating Big Mike and keeps beating Big Mike. And he's, oh, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing. Until finally Big Mike had enough. And he came to the play. And they called, he said, and Big Mike calls the play, which is a run. Because Big Mike knew that he wanted to deck this kid. So, and they show, it's always slow motion. You know, something good is going to happen in slow motion, right? And all of a sudden, he comes, and Big Mike, I mean, not just plows this kid. He keeps backing him up, backing him up, backing him up, all the way through the end zone, and picks him up and shoves him out of the stadium. Everybody goes crazy. And then Sandra Bullock will say something in the movie that I can't say in the pulpit right now to that other father. Get the movie. I was like, yeah! And it was like, so, I mean, I'm crying, shouting, you know. And here's the point, is that Big Mike now began to realize what was really inside of him. Now all these scouts start coming. Now he's getting all these letters. Now everything begins to happen. He goes on to play at Tennessee. He goes on now and he gets drafted in the first round. Why? Because somebody believed in Big Mike. That Big Mike understood that he was bigger on the inside than he was on the outside, but he had to win the war in his mind. There's a war that is going on in your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 very quickly. 2 Corinthians says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. It's talking about Jesus, talking about God. But we ourselves are fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from who? God. Say louder. It's from who? God. It's from God. And it's not from what? Ourself. It's not from what? It's not from ourselves. Keep going, please. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Oh, let me use a present day example. We had UFC 110 here last Saturday night. It was awesome. I love you. Save your emails, save your Twitters, save your criticism, because we're going to show UFC again. People say, if you're a Christian pastor, how can you, because I'm a man. Men like blood and gore. Women like shopping and spending money. So you know what? If you watch the fight, Vanderlei Silva is becoming a dear friend. And just as he says, Pastor, you help me spiritually. And Pastor, I don't even know, but I'll try and help you physically. Look at you. I don't know. We need a miracle. I looked at Vanderlei, oh, you of little faith, you know. But Vanderlei came down my house because I actually taped the show. I'm so much in UFC. I watched it here, but I taped it at home. I watched the fight 6 times. The night after, I watched it at home, okay? I watched it. I mean, I just love to watch the fight. So he came over to my house, and he's giving me blow by blow, and this is what I did, and this is what I did. I said, oh, great, man. And then if you saw the fight, Vanderlei at the end, he's a little emotional, and he says these words. In life, you have bad moments. In life, you have bad times. But if you keep your eyes on God, come on, somebody, God will bring you through. Here's a man that understood that his strength comes from God. Come on, somebody, in the inside. But here's where we get caught up, and I end with this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. The writer now is the Apostle Paul again. He's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says these words. We are human. Somebody say, I am. Human. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. I know you're human. Some of you are like, yep, I'm talking to my husband. I know. I'm talking to the guy I'm dating. I know. You know, we are human. Somebody say, I am. Human. But look what he says. He says, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human. Say it louder, human. Human. Here is what got Big Mike in trouble. Big Mike now was fighting with human reasoning. He was fighting within himself. And then somebody showed up in the movie and said, Big Mike, the only reason why they helped you is because they wanted you to go to Old Miss. And he begins now to confront Sandra Bullock. Did you just want to help me just because you wanted to use me, just because you wanted your way? And he had to fight with it because now here's a Caucasian family and here's an African-American man. And now this young man, are they doing it for the right reasons? And what's going on? And here's what happens in our lives. We fight with human reasoning. You struggle with this, don't you? Oh, yes, you do, and I do. No, God only loves me, this is human reasoning, if I do everything right. Then God will accept me. Let me ask you a question. When are you good enough to be accepted by God? When were you good enough for God to put you into his family? Never. When was Mike good enough? He was wet on a rainy road on a dark night, and Sandra Bullock said, stop the car. Mike, get into my car. I don't care if you're wet. I don't care if you're dirty. I don't care who you are. I am stopping this car because I feel, here's what her words are, this is what Christians do. If that's what Christians do, what does God do? He stopped the car one day. It was 1986, and he stopped the car at San Onofre State Beach, and he looked at a young man, me, and he said, get in the car. Well, God, I've really screwed up. I've been partying for 3 years, and God, I've done some things that my mom don't know, my dad don't know, nobody know, my wife-to-be is never going to know. I mean, and you'll never know. Because I got a big, honking, powerful attorney that will go after anybody who tries to bring up my past. Well, God, wait a second, God. I haven't read my Bible. I haven't prayed. God, I didn't do the rosary. God, I didn't do that. And my human reasoning, could it be that God stopped just because he's a God that will search after you, just because you're not worthy, but he makes you worthy by Jesus Christ, that you can have you can have a relationship, and God stops the car for you? Get in the car, Big Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Human reasoning. See, it doesn't make sense, does it? To give to God in the middle of recession. People ask, why do you give money to a church? I never give money to church. I give money to God's house. See, if you think it's a church, then you're missing out because that's religion. This is God's house. It's a relationship. I gladly give to God. I gladly give to God. I know the human reason is there. It doesn't make sense. Pastor, doesn't make sense. I mean, why do you do that? Because the human mind cannot receive the spiritual things of God. You have to understand, listen, you can live life by human reasoning or live life by revelation. I choose to live by life by revelation. I could say this, and I'm not going to brag, but I could say this. I knew in my heart, I felt in my heart strong that Vanderlei Silva was going to win. I did. I really felt that. Not because I was praying, because I prayed the last time, and he got knocked out. I figured I should start praying for the other opponent. When he fought Rampage, I'm there on the sidelines. I'm praying, you know, and I'm praying, and I'm a man of God. 27 seconds later, he's on the mat. So much for my prayer life. I just felt, and I knew, that he was going to win. What you don't know is that after the last worship experience, before he left for Australia, it was just me, one other pastor, and Vanderlei in the Wiggle Giggle Room. Everybody was gone. I laid my hands on him and I prayed. And I knew down in the bottom of my heart that I really believed that this was a divine appointment for Vanderlei. Well, Pastor, if you believed that much, why didn't you go to the sport book? I know, I should have. Could have paid for a new building. Here's the point. Is that you've got to overcome the raging battle in your mind. And here's what he says. He says, you can overcome the human reasoning by God's mighty power, by God's mighty weapons. And what are those weapons? Number one, the name of Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray in the name of Pastor Benny Perez. If you lay hands on somebody and pray in the name of Benny Perez, they're going to die. In fact, if you pray for somebody and they're well and you say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Benny Perez, they're going to get sick. There's only one name, come on church, that the Bible says there's only one name, Philippians chapter 2, there's one name given among men, right? There's one name that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Every time you read your Bible, Jesus showed up, demons screamed. Why is it today when demons show up, we scream? There ain't no paranormal activity at my house. Any devil comes into my bedroom, he is off limits. Ain't nobody coming into my bedroom except me and my wife, not even my kids. You got to knock for permission. Ain't going to let no devil come into my bedroom. Watch me now. Then why do you allow the devil to come into your finances, come into your body, come into your life? Some of us just got to get mad. Some of you, you know what? You're like Big Mike. You don't know how much power you have in the inside of you. Some of you just got to get tired and say, you know what? No. Call the play this way. I'm fed up with the devil. I'm fed up with this stuff. I'm fed up with this garbage. No. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No. I am a Christ follower. It's not my power. It's God's power working in me. Why do you have to yell? Because I feel it. Why is Vanderlei, Vanderlei, and then he steps into the octagon. He's the axe murderer. Have you seen his eyes? Because you feel it. You have the name of Jesus. You know, we're seeing cancers healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're seeing emotional healings in the name of Jesus. But you know what? I know, we're Americans. Oh, come on, just pray in the name of Jesus. It's your human reasoning that stops it. Could it actually be that the name is more powerful than you know because it's not magical, it's a covenant? Because it indicates when you say Jesus, it shows which family you're in. Come on. It's not a magical word in the name of Jesus. It's a covenant word. In the name of Jesus, because now I'm part of the family. I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit backing me up. And I don't understand why it doesn't always happen the time that it should happen. All this stuff should happen. But I still understand there is power in the name of Jesus. Second thing is there's power in the blood of Christ. The New Testament says that the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. Abel now was killed by his brother Cain because Cain became jealous and took vengeance on him. And God says to Cain, why is it that I hear the blood of your brother Abel calling for vengeance? The blood of Jesus doesn't call for vengeance. The blood of Jesus says, Father, their sins are forgiven. Father, they're in right standing. The blood of Jesus is a spiritual weapon you need to use. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you may not understand, because I know we have a lot of people that are unchurched, a lot of people coming from conservative churches, and that's all good. I'm an old time. Don't let my new duds. Come on, don't I look good today? Yeah. My wife dressed me. And don't let my new school look fool you. I'm an old time Pentecostal. And what I mean by that, I still believe in pleading the blood of Jesus. I grew up in a movement that gives me so much great stuff. And one of the things they taught me is you draw that bloodline. And you tell the devil, devil, you can't cross this bloodline. You can't cross this bloodline. I know this may sound strange to some of you, but when I tuck my kids in, I plead the blood of Jesus over them every night. I said, thank you, Father, for the blood that covers them. Why? Where's the principle? In the book of Exodus, you read about Moses, and Moses is told by God that you sacrifice a lamb and put the lamb on the what? On the doorpost, because the death angel is coming. And the Bible said that when the death angel came, when the death angel saw the blood, it passed over. This is what the Jewish people now celebrate. They celebrate Passover, that a blood of a lamb back in the Old Testament caused a death angel to pass over. If a blood of an animal caused a death angel to pass over, how much more would the blood of the lamb begin to cause the devil? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I know that I kind of did that and things still happen. You got to get aggressive. I know that I've locked my door and somebody's trying to break in. Come on in. We got three people waiting for you. Me, Smith and Wesson. You'll get to that later. You got the name of Jesus. Somebody say the name of Jesus. Say the blood of Christ. See, the blood of Christ says you're forgiven based on what Christ has done. You're in right relationship based on what Christ has done. And then the third weapon is the Word of God. That's why it's so important to read the Word, because the Word is a weapon. The Word now equips you in the inside out. Let me finish the story with Big Mike. Big Mike now began to realize that he was in a new family. He looked at that lady from the NAACP, and he says, you know what, you asked me why I was going to old, you kept insinuating and kept asking me all this, but you never asked me why I am really going to Old Miss. She goes, okay, Mike, why are you going to Old Miss? I love this word. I love this phrase. He said, because my family, they all go to Old Miss. At that moment, he wasn't black. He wasn't white. He wasn't rich. He wasn't poor. He was part of a brand new family. Can I tell you? I got a word for you. Is that you are part of a brand new family. And when that revelation comes, it don't matter what your background is. If you're a hood like me. How many grew up in the hood? Come on, everybody should be raising your hand. You grew up in neighborhoods. See, you're reasoning. Oh, he's talking about that bad part of town. I'm talking about your bad part of town, too. Last time I checked, country club people are jacked up, too. Last time I checked, Mexicans are jacked up, too. Caucasians are jacked up. Everybody, the Bible says this way, we all have fallen short. See, walls, big houses, it doesn't matter if you live in a tough part of town. That's all relative. It's about the human heart. So, as I close, which means nothing. How many of you guys are learning something? Is this good right now? Are you learning something? Because the bottom line is this. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. I didn't hear this from any preacher. I didn't hear this from Andy Stanley. I didn't hear this from Judd Wildheit. And by the way, I steal a lot of stuff from Judd, and I just kind of soup it up a little bit. Judd's one of my dear friends. I listen, you don't talk negative about Judd. I'll go to war. I will. Don't come up and say, well, we used to go to Centro, but you know, don't say that to me. Don't say that to me. I love that church. And we love Pastor Judd Wildheit. He's a hero in this city. Amen. I pray for him, and me and my wife pray for him and his beautiful wife and kids. We do, because the weight that he carries is absolutely phenomenal. And God's grace is on him. Here's what the Lord spoke to me, and I could actually say the Lord spoke this to me. You cannot release what you don't realize. You cannot release what you don't realize. Some of you don't realize how big and strong you really are in Christ. Some of you are still caught up about where you've been, what you've done, how bad you were. But in Christ, you begin to realize who you really are. And you release something brand new in your life. How about you? It's not a racial thing. It's not an economic thing. This is a human thing. As Cisco says, it's part of the human network. I watch too much television. Some of you will catch that later. How about you? You know, the building you're sitting in, you know, we started a church. I didn't wake up one day and said, let me reason this out. Maybe I should start a church. It was a revelation. Start a church, Benny. A revelation. 3,000 plus people later, believing we're going to break ground in a few months, start a second campus. The campus in Arkansas is doing great. I'm leading. I want to believe God for 100 people that are going to get a revelation. They need to do missions trips with me this week. Go to Mexico with me. I'm taking my 9-year-old son. It's going to revolutionize his life. This is a revelation. Can I tell you? I'm still struggling. Because every once in a while, that human reasoning kicks in. Pastor, you really struggle some? Yeah, I do. That reasoning kicks in. You're not good enough. You're not that good of a preacher. You're not that good of a husband. You're not that good of a father. You got to try harder. You got to work at it more. You got to see, that's human reasoning. Whereas the revelation says, no, I'm becoming a better father. I'm becoming a better husband. I'm becoming a better man of God because God is at work in my life. It's a whole different way of living life. I want you to walk out of this place, and those of you that are Christ followers, I want you to walk out with your head up high today. I want you to walk as if you just won UFC 110. See, that illustration doesn't work for women. I want you to walk out of here as if you just had the biggest shopping spree you've ever had at City Center. All the men go, you're going to make me broke, Pastor. Look at me. I want you to, if you're a Christ follower, you're a Christian, I want you to quit reasoning away and realize what you have so you can release it to the world. Man, this is good preaching. You know, people came up the last two worshipings. They said, Pastor, please don't study ever again. I'm going, I don't know what you mean by all that. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you what God gave to me. It doesn't make sense to build. It doesn't make reason. It doesn't make sense to build in the middle of recession. We're not building in recession. We're building in the middle of abundance because we're in God's kingdom. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to stay in your marriage when you want to give up. It doesn't make sense to forgive people that don't ask for forgiveness. It doesn't make sense to be giving to God. It doesn't make sense now to be giving to people and to volunteer your time. It doesn't make sense. But you begin to realize that God is in you. And you begin to get a revelation. Changes your perspective.